Let's pray. Father, we just come before you now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask you, Father, that you help me, Lord, to quiet my thoughts and only to listen to you, to your Spirit. And I pray the Holy Spirit would help us today to renew our minds with the Word of God, that we might forever be changed. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Today we're beginning a new series. It is somewhat of a follow-up to the last series that we just finished called Real Church. And this series is about how we treat one another in the body of Christ. We're going to be looking at some of the one another commands written to the churches in the New Testament. And today we're going to look at the one that Jesus gave us. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." It's John 15. We're going to read 12 and 13. Now we're starting with that one, not only because Jesus gave us this command to love one another, but also because all of the rest of them, in one way or another, are a fulfillment of this command. And so we really need to get a hold of this one today. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." He said, "As I have loved you," and oh, how much he has loved us. How much he has given, sacrificed, paid. Each of our own lives, how much he has loved us. 1 John 4:19 tells us that we love him because he first loved us. I'm convinced that anybody that really understands how much Jesus loves them will want to love him back. But if we do love him, we have to love each other. 1 John 4:20 and 21 tells us this. It's the very next verse. It says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother." The scripture makes it clear that we can't really love God if we don't love each other. And it's important for us to hear that in the generation that we live, because there are so many today who claim to love God and yet don't love his people. But the scripture says they're a liar. They don't really love God. You can't love God whom you have not seen if you don't love your brother whom you have seen. And those are important words. It's who you have seen. Because sometimes we like to say, well, in the general sense, we love everybody. I say, well, you got to love people. Oh, of course, I love everybody. But I want you to understand that he wants us to love people in a personal way. It's whom you have seen. It's people that you come in contact with. It's people whose paths you cross today. Those are the ones that you have to love. And if we really love God, we will love each other. Little saying that goes like this: to love the whole world for me is no chore. The only real problem's my neighbor next door. Yeah, it's kind of like that sometimes. But we got to make it real. You got to love those that are around you, that you come in contact with. The scripture certainly teaches us to love everybody. It teaches us to love our neighbor as ourselves, and it teaches us that we are to love even our enemies. All the teachings of Jesus, he says that we are to love our enemies. But when Jesus gives this command in John chapter 15, he is speaking specifically to the 12. He is telling them that he wants them to love each other in the same way that he loves them. Love one another as I have loved you. And that's what he wants us to do as his people. He wants us to love one another in the same way that he's loved us. We need to especially love our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 6:10, "Do good to all men, but especially to the household of faith." And I just tell you that in the church, we are brothers and sisters. Not pretend. We are spiritual brothers and sisters. We are born of the same Spirit, begotten by the same Father. And it's so important that we love one another as Jesus commanded us to. John 15:12 in the NIV, it just says it this way, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." The last night that Jesus was with the 12, at the Last Supper, before he's betrayed, he spoke to them about a lot of different things. But there's only one thing that he gave as a command. And this is it. He said, "This is my command, that you love each other as I have loved you." I hope that you will hear that this morning as the command of Jesus to you personally. Love each other as I have loved you. As I have loved you. That's a tall order, isn't it? But loving one another is the most important thing. I didn't say it was the only thing. I said it's the most important thing. Too often people will trade away loving one another for doctrinal purity. And I want you to understand, doctrine is important because false doctrine gets people bound up, gets people all messed up. Doctrine's important. But when we trade loving one another for doctrine, your doctrine's all wrong. Because the most important doctrine is that you love one another, according to Jesus anyway. We got to love one another. Some people trade loving one another away for their goals. You know, they've got certain things they want to achieve and well, don't get in their way. I'm just telling you, they got the wrong goals. Because this is the most important thing. Some people trade loving one another away in the name of being deeply. But I would tell you, people that are really spiritual understand and know that there's nothing more spiritual than loving people. Showing that same love that he loved us with. Now the Corinthian church, they thought that they were real spiritual because they had a lot going on. They had a lot of gifts in operation. And they had forgotten the most important thing. And so the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, writes to them, 1 Corinthians 13:1, he says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." It doesn't matter how good we talk. It doesn't matter how great of a communicator we are. It doesn't matter really what we say. If it's not because of love, it's really just a bunch of noise. It doesn't accomplish anything. The motive has to be because we love people. In verse 2, he says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing." You see, it doesn't matter how great our gifts. We look at those gifts and we think, faith that can move mountains, wow, that's amazing. Let me tell you what's more important, love. Because if those gifts are not operating in and because of love, It's nothing. It doesn't bring any lasting fruit. And then he tells us in verse 3 of chapter 13, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." It's amazing. It sounds pretty good. Certainly that's love, to bestow all my goods to feed the poor. But you see, if we do that for any other reason but other than love, there's no return on it. It profits you nothing. If we do that just for pride or just to look good in the eyes of man, if we do that just to make ourselves feel good in some way, it profits us nothing. No, it's when we do it because of love that it matters. If I give my body to the flames, I mean, if I just sacrifice my very life. But again, if we did it for pride, if we did it for some personal ambition instead of for love, it's not going to matter in eternity. We got to remember the most important thing is that we love one another. Love should always be our motivation. See, I want to help people because I love people. I want to serve at the church because I love people. I want to be a greeter because I love people. I want to lead a small group or provide my home as a host home because I love people. I want to work in the children's ministry because I love little monsters. I mean, little people. Little people. That's what it's about. I want to talk to people who don't know the Lord about the Lord because I love people. Amen. That has to be our motivation for whatever we do. One more time, let me tell you what the most important thing is. Love. Amen. It's not the only thing. It's just the most important thing. It's the greatest thing that you will ever do in your life. 1 Corinthians 13, it goes on and it describes love for us, and then it tells us that in eternity that tongues will cease. There won't be any more prophecy, and there won't be any need to acquire any knowledge anymore. But there'll be three things that remain. In verse 13, it tells us, "And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Let me tell you what's going to matter on into eternity. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest one is love. The greatest thing you'll ever do in this life is to love other people, show them the love of God, to love one another the way that Jesus has loved you. John 15, 12, and 13, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." And that's exactly what he did. You see, that's how he loved us. He laid his life down. And he tells us to love one another in the same way. And you know, the word love gets used all kinds of ways today. I guess there's all kinds of love. But we typically use the word love in our culture for really, really strong like. Like, you like something, you like it a whole lot, you like it, oh, you love it. See, I don't just like coffee, I love coffee. I don't just like Mexican food, I love Mexican food. And people say things like, "I love the Dallas Cowboys, and I love to go fishing, and I love my wife, and I hope that's not all the same thing." Right? I mean, we throw this word around and use it in all kinds of goofy ways, and then we read it in the Bible, and people don't really get it. And so we need to get it this morning. We need to really understand what Jesus is talking about when he says, "Love one another as I have loved you." He is not talking about that you really, really, really like each other. There's some people that are hard to like. Some of us are hard to like. But Jesus loves us and He laid down His life for us. And you see, you may not like everybody, but if you love God, you love one another. You love everybody. It doesn't have anything to do with liking them a whole lot. He's talking about something far beyond a fondness or an affection. It's not a feeling. If you're only going to love people when you feel it, I feel sorry for your family. I'm just saying, and that's never going to work. I have never really felt love for my enemies, but I've tried to obey God and love my enemies. And I'm just telling you that love, real love, the Bible kind of love, His kind of love, is so different from the way people use the word love in our culture. And so we need to grasp that. We need to understand. 1 John 4:10 through 12, it gives us some insight there. It says, this is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. There's a picture of love. He sent His Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. I want you to understand, there's something very special that He's talking about here in verse 12. When we really love one another, He says, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. You will never feel the love of God like you do when you are in the midst of a group of people that really love one another. You will feel God and sense God there. He says, I'll live with them, and my love will be made complete in them. You see, church, that's the way church is supposed to be, where we come together and we love one another, and we feel God there. Now, whether we feel it or not, He's there. But I'm just telling you, He shows up in a special way. His love is made complete in us when we love one another. What a powerful thing. But this is love, that God sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I'm so glad that God so loved the world. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. You see, He shows us, He demonstrated His love for us. His love is a giving love. It is a sacrificial love. And Jesus says that we're to love one another in the same way. I read a story about a pastor that was at the supermarket one day, and he's waiting to check out. There's a little boy in front of him buying some candy, and the cashier tells the little boy, she says, you're 56 cents short. And the little boy doesn't really know what to do. He just looks at the lady, and she just says the same thing to him again. She says, you're 56 cents short. The pastor steps forward and pulls some change out of his pocket, and he pays the 56 cents. And the little boy looks up at him, smiling, his face beaming, and he says, I know who you are. You're that preacher. And Jesus made you do it, didn't He? Then as he's walking away, he looks back, and he says, I'm glad God made people like you. And you know, I got to tell you, that preacher, he got off cheap that day, because most of the time, love will cost you a lot more than 56 cents. Make no mistake about it, this kind of love will cost you. It'll cost you time. It'll cost you a little bit of your life. That's what time is. It's your life here on this earth. It'll cost you a little bit of your life. It'll cost you effort. Sometimes it'll cost you money. It'll cost you to give of yourself. Sometimes it'll cost you to give up what you want so you can meet somebody else's need. But real love, God's love, requires that we give. It requires that we be willing to make sacrifice. It requires that we do something. And it has to be lived out in our life. Jesus is, of course, our example as he laid down his life for us. He did something because he loves us. 1 John 3:18 tells us, "Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." It is not enough to just say it. Now, certainly we know that words are powerful, but we can't just talk the talk. We got to walk the walk. We have to live it out in our life. We got to, he says, love in actions, in deeds, and truth. So if we really love people, we talk to them about the Lord. If we really love people, we'll invite them to church. If we really love people, we'll pray for them. If we love people, when they do come to church, we'll talk to them. If we really love people, well, we want to serve. We want to help. If we love people, we'll get involved in children's ministry or some. I'm just saying, listen, if we love people, we will give of ourselves in some way. I got to tell you that I am privileged and blessed to pastor such loving people. Never felt so loved as when we moved several times and people showed up and helped us move. Now, I want to tell you, that's love. Give their time, their day off, and their energy and do that work. I'm telling you, that's love. But that's the way love is. It's something that you do. It's not just something that you feel. It's something that you do. Our love for Jesus, it has to be more than talk. He said in John 14:15, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." I think there's a lot of people in our culture right now that need to hear that, because they say they love Jesus and yet they don't obey him at all. Jesus says, if you love me, you will do something. You will obey what I command. This is real. Listen, this is real Christianity. If we really love Jesus, we obey him. His words, not mine. If we love Jesus, we will obey him. It is insincere to say we love the Lord and yet refuse to obey. No, if we really love him, we obey him. Why? Not because it's our religious duty, not because, you know, we're under this heavy load of guilt and the only way to alleviate it is to obey. No, we obey him because we love him. But we do something. And sometimes our love for Jesus costs us. It's not talked about a lot, but it's the truth. Peter said, "Lord, we've left all to follow you." Now, I know that Jesus also told him, "Hey, anybody that's left anything for me, he's going to receive it back 100-fold in this life." I'm telling you, God will bless you. But there's times when it will cost you. And I think when Peter said that, he had no idea just exactly how much it was going to cost him. After Jesus had risen from the dead, one day he met the disciples out on the beach for breakfast. And they're having fish. And he says to Simon Peter, he says, "Simon Peter, do you love me more than these?" And he's talking about the fish, because here this fisherman who Jesus had called to be a fisher of men after the resurrection, he has gone back to fishing. "You love me more than these." And Peter says, "You know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Oh, okay, good. That's not what he said. He said, feed my sheep. And again, he asked him, do you love me? And he said, yes. And he said, feed my sheep. And a third time he asked him, and the Bible says that Peter was hurt because he asked him a third time, and he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. And here's my point. You see, if we really love Jesus, there has to be some doing. There's something that he wants us to do. And we can't just say we love him. There has to be action to our love. And here's what he said to him in John 21, 17 through 19. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Peter's love for Jesus certainly had to be a giving, sacrificial love for him to follow Jesus and fulfill the things that Jesus had spoken about him. See, love isn't just a pretty word. It's not about mushy feelings or a fondness for somebody. Love is something that we have to do. Again, I want to commend you as a church. I see so many acts of love happening. People caring for one another, helping one another. In August, when Carmen had surgery, so many people brought us food and did things for us and helped us. And I'm just saying that I see this happening in our church all the time, but we haven't arrived yet. And I just want to encourage you, we need to do this all the more. This is the most important thing, that we love one another. That's what Jesus said that we're supposed to do. And so I want to help us today. I want us to really make this practical, where we can live this out in our life on a daily basis and be doers of the word. You know, we can talk about laying down our lives, and maybe at some point, who knows, maybe some of us will actually give our physical life. But let me tell you something. We need to lay down our life each and every day, not just living our life out the way we want and doing what we want, but being willing to go out of our way to love others in a very simple and practical way that we can do that is that we treat people the way that we want to be treated. You see, when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, he's not talking about feel good about your neighbor like you feel good about yourself. And that's the way it's being interpreted a lot of the time today, that you got to like yourself and feel good about yourself so you can feel good and like other people. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about you love your neighbor as yourself. The things that you would like done to you, you do for your neighbor. In fact, we call this the golden rule. Do you know even the world knows the golden rule? Well, some of them have a different version. I think it goes something like the one with the gold rules, but that's not really it. No, the golden rule is that you treat other people the way you want to be treated. Now, listen, let's get this. This is real practical. Love is something you do. It's all about how you treat people. And Jesus tells us this in Matthew 7, 12, whatever you want men to do to you, notice it's something you do, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Does that sound kind of similar to something else? It's worth noting that when Jesus gives us this golden rule in Matthew, he uses almost the exact same phrase is when he tells us to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. He says, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. And here, when he gives this golden rule, he tells us, for this is the law and the prophets. And I'm telling you this morning that whenever you struggle to say, and you say, well, I don't really know how I can show love. I don't really know what I can do to love this person. Let me tell you, just do what you would want done to you. And especially if you can put yourself in their shoes, if you were them, what would you want done to you? That's what you do. This is not just something that we ought to be doing once in a while. This ought to be lifestyle for us. We read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 that Jesus lived a life of love. We are to be imitators of him and walk in love just as Jesus did. And I'm telling you, we can do this if we'll set our minds that this is something that's really important, that as a Christian, I'm going to please my Lord, I'm going to live this life, love one another as he loved me. Do to them what you would want done to you. How do you want to be treated? How do you want to be talked to? I think sometimes when you share a message or you hear a message like this on love, there's a tendency for us to sit back and say, yeah, you know, those people didn't treat me right. They didn't love me. No, this message is for each and every one of us. That we be doers of the word. And not hearers only. Love one another. Churches that really love each other, statistically, are growing churches. Statistically, churches that do not make love a priority don't grow. And we're not going to love each other so the church will grow. No, we're going to love each other because Jesus commanded us to. But I'm just telling you that the people of this world are not interested in a religion of works. They're not interested in all your do's and don'ts and your political opinions. Amen. What they are interested in is when they see something that's real. And what they judge as real is when we love one another. And the reason I know that is because when Jesus gives us this commandment in John chapter 13, he says it this way, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. See, we can go to church and we can have our do's and don'ts. And this is what they will know about us. We go to church. And we have a list of do's and don'ts. And they will put us in the same box as all the other religions of the world. But when we love one another, Jesus said this is how they'll know. Not just that you go to church or that you are a Christian. He said they will know that you are one of my followers. My disciples. See, if we leave the love out, the world just sees us as hypocrites. Love is the most important ingredient in a church. Do you know that if you make a cake and you leave the sugar out, that's yuck. You say, oh, but there's sugar substitutes, yuck. And churches substitute flash and show and technology and sound and lights and programs and activity. I'm telling you that it doesn't matter. There is no substitute for love. It is the most important ingredient in a church. And you can take a little poor country church that doesn't have money for anything, but if those people love each other, God will be there, and God will touch people and change people's lives. It is not about entertainment and flash and show and talent and personality. We need to see this really as the most important thing, that we love one another as He loved us. And the world needs to see it. That's what we want to be known for. He said, by this all men will know. What do we want to be known for as a church? I'll tell you, we have a lot of great things in this church, a lot of blessings from the Lord. I'm so thankful for our worship team and our music. I think it's awesome. I think it rivals mega churches. I'm so thankful for our youth program. The youth ministry, there's none like it around here. I mean, that may just be, you know, bragging, but I'm just telling you, I'm so thankful the Lord has blessed. And our children's ministry, I'm so thankful for all of you. Such a wonderful church. Let me tell you what makes it wonderful. This is what really matters. And this is what we really want to be known for, is that we love each other. All that other stuff is good. But here's what we really want to be known for. We love each other. You got to keep the main thing the main thing. And Jesus said the main thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so, if we're going to be known as a church that loves one another, then we have to be known as people that love others. What kind of person are you? What do you want to be known for? Put it another way, what are you known for? What would people say about you? We hear this word this morning, it ought to be our desire to be known for our love. But that's what they would say about us. What kind of person are they? They're a loving person. If the Lord tarries and one day He takes us home, the most important thing they could say at our funeral is not He was a good man or He accomplished this and He accomplished that, but that He loved people. He showed the love of God to people. Be genuine and real as a church. This has to be the main thing, that we love one another. This morning, I just want you to make this real practical. You can do this every day, many times a day. I challenge you to look for a way to show love, to do something out of the ordinary. I realize that many of you, you're loving your family as you go to work, and you're loving your family as you prepare supper, you're doing these things. But I want to challenge you to go out of your way to do something every day for somebody to show them that you love them. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another in a way that you give of yourself, you make sacrifices, you treat each other the way you wish somebody would treat you. This is life-changing, and this is church-changing. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Father, I just thank You that Your Word always speaks to our heart. And I pray, Father, that today, that truly we would be forever changed. Oh, Father, I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, You would shed abroad the love of God in our hearts fresh and new. Help us, Lord, to fulfill Your command to love one another. I pray this morning for those that are hurting. Lord, for those who maybe don't feel loved today, I pray, Father, that you would just wrap your arms around them. And Lord, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, they would sense and know that there is a God who loves them more than anything. And Father, I thank you for moving and working in our midst today. Thank you, Lord, for changing us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. In just a moment, as we dismiss, I want to give you the opportunity to come for prayer. And first of all, if you've never really received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He loves you like no other. He loves you so much. And He wants you to experience His love in your life, to know Him personally. He died on the cross because He loves you. He took away your sin because He loves you. And if you want to receive Him into your life to be your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to come and let one of these prayer partners pray with you. Some of you here today, I know that the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart. And you just want God to do a work in you. Let somebody pray with you. Maybe you're dealing with somebody in your life right now that's especially difficult and you're just saying, I don't know how I can love this person. Let me tell you, the God inside you can. Let somebody pray with you about that this morning. However God may be dealing with you, we'd be glad to pray with you. And as always, if you have any kind of prayer need, you're welcome to come and have somebody pray with you. So I'm going to dismiss the congregation. And as we dismiss, if you want prayer, you come. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.